Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
In the world of true crime trials, budgets usually don't make headlines, but in the case of Brian Koberger, they probably should. We're looking at a publicly funded defense team operating with what feels like a blank check. Like, better than he could get if he had the money to provide his own defense. That's usually not how it works. Usually your public defenders are not quite up to the level of, I have, you know, endless millions of dollars to spend on a defense team. But that's what's happening here. While most defendants facing murder charges are lucky to get one overworked court-appointed attorney and a forensic expert who charges $50 an hour, Koberger's team has assembled a full squad of lawyers, specialists, mitigation experts on the taxpayer's dime. Why this case? Why this level of investment? Yeah, it's a death penalty case. Yeah, it's a high-profile case. But what exactly is driving the scale and scope of this defense? And more importantly, why and what are they doing with it? One thing's for sure, they're using those resources to mount a full court press against the prosecution's timeline, expert testimony, and witnesses, where they can get them. With the third-party suspect theory officially tossed by Judge Hippler and the trial clock ticking towards August, the defense is now putting everything into discrediting the state's evidence. That means going hard after the cell data, the car ID analysis, the surviving roommate, Dylan Mortensen, and even the DoorDash driver. Everyone in their mind is fair game now. We're going to unpack all of this in just a second, but I do want to hear what your thoughts are on the case and where this is all sitting. Please do comment on YouTube if you're not there, if you're listening to us on one of the many platforms we're on. Check out our YouTube channel. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi there. You can watch us do the show and interact with us as well. I'd love to get your thoughts on this, and that is the best place to have your voice heard. So do check that out. So to help us unpack all this in this video, I'm joined by retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer. She's seen high-profile cases from the inside and knows exactly how courtroom strategy, witness pressure, and public messaging collide when the stakes are this high. We break down the real implications of the budget, the trajectory, and the defense strategy, and the incredibly delicate tightrope the state will have to walk when Dylan takes the stand. So let's get into it, starting with the question on everyone's mind. Why does Brian Koberger's defense team have the kind of trial budget that most capital defendants could only dream of, you know? Why do you think it is that they have such a budget for this trial? Granted, it's very, very high profile, but at the same point, it's another trial. It's another case. It's another murder case. Granted, it obviously involves many people, but how? Maybe this is more of a legal question, but where do they determine the budgets for what case? Where, like, one gets, okay, you get your, you know, your attorney from the state, good luck. He's getting everything, you know, for free from the state. It's not like he has millions of dollars here to spend on these attorneys or any of the legal defense. The taxpayers are paying to defend Brian Koberger. Why this, you know, carte blanche to the checkbook?
You know, Tony, I've brought this up before because it's, I will say, in our system, it is so unfair. You can go to some states and the expert witness is going to get paid $50 an hour. I'm mm-hmm. not kidding you.
Yeah.
Other states, it's $500, $600, $700, $800. You know, it just depends on the judge and his allotment. So it's really insane, the budgets that are decided solely by the judges. And remember, a lot of this budget was decided well before Judge Hippler was involved. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, I think the horse done left the barn, and a lot of those constraints just weren't made. So it was carte blanche. But in a way, to me, I'm happy from the standpoint of for this case not to be appealed, for his mm-hmm. Sixth Amendment rights to be protected, because this is a scary individual.
Yeah.
If for some reason he were exonerated, you know, it's the thought of him being let out. I just, you know, I'll mimic what my good friend Dr. Picotta said. It could be a very scary situation if he were acquitted.
Yeah, I can agree. Obviously, the third party theory is off the table now. The defense is going to have to pretty much attack the prosecution's case directly. Do you think they will? Do you think we're going to see a real solid attack of the prosecution's case, considering I don't know that they have a whole lot to do attack it with? Granted, we have these witnesses here that they're trying to compel to testify, but at the end of the day, you got a high school counselor, a boxing coach, and whoever else they can, you know, finagle to show up over there. I mean, is that a defense you even want to raise, or do you think this may be one where it kind of goes the way of Diddy or Daybell or anything, where when it comes time to them for them to present their witnesses, they may just go, we're done, we're good, we're just going to rest on everything we argued on cross?
Oh, they've got rabbits up their sleeve. First of all, they're going to discredit try to discredit all that cellular telephone information, and they have expert witness that they have acquired. Mm-hmm. And I think he will be, you know, do the best that he can to try to dissuade the jury that the prosecution's information regarding all the cellular data is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think at the end of the day he'll be successful. He's been out of the business for a long time, certainly qualified and certainly an expert. But you're going to have the best of the best with the FBI's CART team on the stand, and I think they're going to be pretty unshakable. I think they're also going to go after the car data. Recall that in the probable cause affidavit, it was originally thought to be 2011 to 2013 mm-hmm. Vehicle, Hyundai Elantra. But, of course, Koberger has 2015, and so that expert, which was an FBI expert, had to go back and revisit why the configuration of the car he limited only to 2013 mm-hmm. and that he had to incorporate up to a 2015. So they're going to go after that. They're certainly going to really go hard after these witnesses. I mean, they're going to try to cut up Dylan Mortensen's testimony and try to show that she was drunk, that it wasn't really a big deal what she saw, that she was texting. They're going to really try to paint her in the worst light possible. We have the DoorDash individual who now, you know, has an issue. It was from a year prior. Because you get a DUI a year prior, in my view, doesn't mean that you can't testify you saw somebody at a murder scene.
Sure.
Totally unrelated. There's no information she was drinking under the influence during that instance in time. So the bottom line is I see them vigorously going after each of these witnesses.
And those are two big ones. Dylan Mortensen out there. Obviously, there are still people out there who are like, well, why didn't she call the police? And if you look at it, if you spend some time and don't just live in the ether of YouTube and go and understand where this all happened and how this all happened, it makes sense. You can, at least to a logical person, I think, you know, okay, this makes sense. Was it what I would have done at that age in time? No, probably not. But I didn't grow up at this point in life either, nor did I have social media and the ways that these kids communicate today either. So it's a very different ecosystem. And I think once you kind of understand that, it makes a bit more sense. But yeah, they're going to end up going after the roommates. At the end of the day, how strong is the testimony of the roommates saying that they saw the man with the bushy eyebrows? Obviously, it's one person that does put him there, but we have DNA, we have the sheath, we have the shopping list, we have so many other things too. How powerful do you think it will be to have Dylan testify? And it's going to be another tightrope when she does get to cross on the roommates, not to come across as too harsh or anywhere near mean towards someone who also is a victim of this, who went through such a trauma the night that Koberger allegedly went into that house.
Well, you know, Tony, the good thing is I think there's a lot of corroborative information now. We have the 911 call where specifically they say before the 911 operator interrupted that there was somebody here last night. Mm-hmm. I think they even say in dark clothing. We've gone over those transcripts, but and then the fear and panic, the voice. Oh, my gosh. So there's a lot to corroborate sort of how she was feeling and why she did what she did. You know, this was a party house and these were party girls. And so I don't think it was the first time she'll be able to testify to this, but that maybe somebody had had a little too much to drink and mm-hmm. passed out on the ground. I think that is something that makes a lot of sense yeah. depending on, you know, the circle you're in and the time frame you're in. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to Dylan Mortensen. The prosecution needs to let her have her cathartic moment on the stand, because I can't imagine how this is all going to come together for her. There's going to be, she knows she's going to be on television. This is, like you said, the worst trauma almost anybody could suffer, realizing how close you were to likely being murdered and recounting all of this. I think if she comes off as emotional, and that this is a cathartic moment for her to tell her truth, mm-hmm. I think it will go a long way, because you better be careful, defense, if you go after this young girl, assuming she's well-spoken and has it together and is emotional during direct examination.
That was Jennifer Coffin after laying out with brutal clarity what's really happening behind the scenes as the Koberger trial draws near and what the defense's next play might be. It's clear they're preparing for an all-out battle against the state's digital evidence, eyewitnesses, and behavioral narratives. You know, all the stuff that points to it being Brian Koberger. But here's the part that sticks. This isn't just about reasonable doubt anymore. With their alternative suspect theory officially buried and no new delay on the table, the defense team is now going all in on discrediting the core structure of the prosecution's case, point by point, witness by witness. And thanks to a robust public defense budget, they have some expert witnesses and resources to make that fight messy, loud, and deeply personal. We talked about the jail guard from Pennsylvania, an unusual character witness, possibly there to show Koberger as calm or cooperative post-arrest. But as Jennifer pointed out, that could easily backfire. Jailhouse behavior, strange dietary demands, cryptic comments. Those details could just as easily reinforce jurors' concerns rather than ease them. And then there's a Dylan Mortensen issue. This young woman survived the unimaginable and is now expected to relive it on a national stage. She'll be attacked, directly and indirectly, depending on where it's coming from. And methodically, the defense will try to poke holes in her behavior, question her memory, or cast doubt on how seriously she took what she saw. But as Jennifer wisely noted, this is a double-edged sword. A jury watching a trauma survivor being discredited on the stand doesn't always take kindly to that. So where does that leave us? With trial just weeks away, this case is no longer about who did it. It's about how convincingly the prosecution can prove it without being sidetracked by tactics, distractions, and witness warfare. And online warfare. And anybody who's going to start waving flags and throwing weird things around out there that are not based in reality, and how much they can influence people before they are sworn in as jurors. The gloves are coming off. We'll be right there to watch every single round of it, and hopefully you will be too. I want to hear your voice on this. What are your thoughts? If you're not on our YouTube channel yet, please search it, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and comment. Let us know what your thoughts are on this case. We put out a lot of content on this topic every single week, so there's no shortage of places and topics to have your voice heard. We'd love to hear it on YouTube, so please do that. Be sure to hit subscribe wherever it is you're listening to us, whether that's on the podcast platforms, whether it's on YouTube, wherever it may be. Hit subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage on this case. We do greatly, greatly appreciate that. So I want to hear your thoughts. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.